We serve a risen Savior. Amen. In the book of John, in the fourth chapter, is where we'll be reading from tonight, if you'd like to follow along with us for a few minutes of time. We won't keep you long. We had a business meeting, but yet we want to stay as long as God wants us to and do His will as well. John 4. Starting at verse 1, going down through and reading verse 10. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judah and departed thence into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, next to the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. And stop reading there with that 10th verse this evening. And very familiar passage of scripture that we've all heard preached many times during our life. But tonight I'd like to take a different turn or twist with these scriptures, in that God knows what we need more than we do. God knows more about what we need than we do. This woman met a man at a place that she least expected to have a man speak to her. You know the story. She was a woman of ill report. And she was there in the sixth hour. If you go down and read about that again. The sixth hour was a time when all the other ladies had already been there. For it was the ladies who went out and gathered the water with their pitchers. But to keep from being ridiculed, no doubt, she went, Brother Ray, at a time that all the other ladies were away from the well. She went there to get some water, thinking that that was what she needed. Have you ever been in a place where you thought you knew what you needed, and yet it wasn't what you needed? And something that you thought that you had no need of, God gave it to you and it supplied your need. This woman went there to get some water for her household, no doubt. And she met a man that was a Jew. And instead of just listening to him for a moment and giving him to drink, she went into the dialogue about why the Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings. And he already knew why. Because the Samaritans were counted as dogs. They had no dealings one with another. But you know, Jesus said, I came to save the unrighteous. Not the righteous, but the unrighteous. He said in another scripture that I came to save sinners. This woman thought she knew what she had need of. And I'll just give you Roger's thought. Maybe she went out there after all the women were gone. Maybe looking for the men that might be there. And that's just my thought. It doesn't say that in Scripture. But, you know, the Bible gives us the liberty to use our thoughts of the time and take in consideration what was going on and apply that to the Word of God. This day she met a man that knew all about her. Because you remember in the latter part of these scriptures, He told her to go and call her husband and tell him to come hither. And she said unto him, I have none. And he said, you've spoken well, because you've had five, and the one you've got is not yours. Amen. So God knows all about us. Why do we try to cover it up? And even after that, she tried to get religious with God, the Lord there. And she perceived that he was a prophet, and telling him that our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. You see, it's not where you worship, it's how you worship. It's how you worship. I believe in church, don't get me wrong, but I can worship him at the house. I can worship him at the job. I can worship him in the car running up and down the highways. But there is no place like being in the house of God to be able to worship him. And most of the things that I've needed in my life, in fact, let me say all the things that I've needed in my life, I have found them in the house of the Lord. Because God knows what we have need of better than we know. We might be praying for God to send us a miracle of healing, and God says, I've got a better answer. I'm going to take you on home. And I've said this in some funeral services over the years, that when we pray for healing, be careful what you pray for, because God might just take you on home, which is the perfect healing and the final healing that we'll ever receive. When we think about our children and all the things that's going on in their lives, we think we know what they have need of. You know, when we was growing up, we grew up in a different time and era. We grew up in a time when we had the Word of God. And many of us thought what we needed was to get out and work hard and make a good career, that we might be able to provide for our families. And you know what we end up finding out is that what we really have need of for ourselves and for our family is to be in the house of the Lord. Now, we ought to provide for our family, but come church time, we ought to be in church, that we might be able to receive what we have need of and what our children and what our loved ones have need of as well. Because as Clyde said in the message this morning, that, you know, I've always said, Lord, I don't want to see my kids poor, but I'd rather see them knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior than I had to see them to have mass wealth and die lost and undone without him. God knows what we have need of. We're praying for many different situations in so many different homes and lives, and we work it out for God. We say, like this woman, I'll go to Jerusalem to worship. We try to give God the answer and say, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm going to do to fix my situation that needs help. And God says, I don't need your help. He is God. I think about all of our folks that are struggling at this time, and I hear that song that they used to sing, God understands. He knows all about me. He knows my thoughts and my cares. He knows my trials. And some of you might be here tonight, and I thought I was going to preach something else, but God laid this on my heart. And you're wondering how the outcome is going to be. We can't see beyond what's in front of us. But God knows what you have need of better than you do, better than I do. You know, I worry a lot. Anybody else say amen to that? Amen. I worry a lot. And, you know, on the job, when you hear about cuts and people losing their positions, it starts a worry down on the inside. But this week I come to the conclusion that God is still on the throne. He's still in control. And the writer of old said, regardless of what happens, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. We hear about folks in the church that are in trouble. And I say, Lord, I don't have the answer. Ron, sometimes people turn to me and say, what do you think we ought to do in this situation? And I just say, I'll pray for you. I don't have all the answers, but I have the answer. And his name is Jesus Christ. God knows all about us. He knows about us when we're laying on our pillows and the tears flow down our face. How many's been there this week? And we say, Lord, I need this. And I need you to move in this direction. I need you to help me with all that's going on. And as I said it yesterday and today and many conversations, I think so many people are struggling and they're trying, they're looking for the answer. And I'd like to be able to just give them a word that there is an answer. You'll find it in Christ Jesus. Instead of trying to go around the answer, go to the answer. It's the Lord tonight that is able to do all things. This woman tried everything Jesus said. She tried to twist it or turn it around or give a rebuttal to it. She thought she needed a pitcher of water. And Jesus said unto her, you would have known, just know who it is that asketh you of a drink. You would have asked him of a drink. And he would have given you that living water. Amen. See, sometimes people go to church for many different reasons. I thought this morning, surely, there'd be a bunch of folks that would come looking for the things in their life that they're looking for and that they need in their life. We had a lot of people today that are very successful in life. But yet, they're lacking one thing. And that is they don't know God as their personal Savior. And if they die in their sins, they'll die and go to a devil's hell for all eternity. And the kids and others will fight over what they leave behind. God knows what you and I need today. How many of us tonight say that I'm struggling right now for an answer? I'm struggling for an answer, Lord. When I see, as I requested prayer earlier, when I see these young people that are so bright and look like their future is so promising, and yet they're struggling, you want to grab them by the shoulders and shake them real good and say, listen, just get your head on straight and move forward. But you know, we're not out there, church. We think we know what the answer is, but we're not out there in the workplaces where they're at, in the schoolhouses where they're at, and facing the things that they face. You and I, we've got the answer. And we thank the Lord tonight, Brother Ron. We've gone beyond the milk of the Word, and we've tasted of the meat of the Word of God. And we know that regardless of what kind of advice somebody gives us, that it's only their advice. It's what they would do. But you see, you and I can't direct anybody else's life. We are in charge of our own life. We could try to encourage them, but you know, they think they know the answer. They've got it all worked out. They've got the answer. But yet, if they would just turn to God, and you say, Roger, so many times you preach, you say, God is the answer. And again, I want to say, God is the answer. He's not one of the answers. He is the answer. I remember back when I was in college, they gave us these tests. And the test would be that all four answers are correct. But you got to pick the one that is the most correct. I never liked those. I like it to be black and white. True or false. But you see, God is the answer to everything. We think we know what we need. How many of you got things that you look in your life and you say, I need this. I need this at this hour. And if you don't get it, you look back and I'll go in retrospect that there's things when I was younger I thought I needed. And I look back and my life would have been no better with them. In fact, it might have been worse. But one thing I found is in Christ Jesus is that He knows what I need even before I ask. And He's got the answer for us. And it reminds me of another song they used to sing. Oh yes, the answer's on its way. This I know. The answer's on its way. And you say, but I've been praying for a long time and I've not received what I have need of. Let me go back to the book of Daniel and remind you. Daniel prayed and prayed and prayed for 21 days. And the answer never came. And when the answer did get there, the angel said unto him, your prayer was heard on the first day. But if you'll have it today, it was the devil that tried to stop his answer. I believe this with all my heart tonight. We're about to have a shouting spell in the house of the Lord because the devil is fighting so hard, trying to block the answer that God is sending for what we have need of. And when it gets here, it might be 21 days late. But praise God, it don't matter how late it is. When it walks through the door and the answers begin to fly and they begin to walk down the aisle and get right with God, we'll say, yes, Lord, thank you that you heard that prayer and you answered it for me. It might seem like I've gone through all of this turmoil for nothing. But keep praying on. Daniel didn't stop. We ought not stop. The answer is on its way. Not the answer that we're praying for, but the answer that God knows we have need of even more. You see, sometimes before God can answer our prayers, He must first bring us down. Anybody else ever been humbled by God? Oh. Yeah. When I say that, God can bring you down two ways. God can humble you by you not getting what you think you have need of. Or God can bring us down with sickness. He can lay us flat on our back. And let me warn us tonight, church, in this message. God gives you a job to do, gives you a calling, gives you a special gift. You better use it while you have time, because if you don't, God is liable to put you in a position that you wish that you had used that gift or that calling or that special anointing upon your life for Him. God can bring us down. One of the things that we look at in our life today is that you and I, how many of you have talked and talked and talked to your red in the face to someone trying to turn them around? And they run right back to the things they was doing. Right? Instead of talking, sometimes we ought to be praying. Saying, Lord, they won't listen to me. You know what Jesus said? A prophet have not honor save in his own country. He has not honor in his own country. Not honor. Everywhere he went, people flocked to him. But in his own household, they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter? It's not his mother Mary. And they named off his brothers and his sisters. But you know, he may have been raised by Joseph, but he wasn't Joseph's son. Amen? Mary was his mother. The others were half-brothers, half-sisters. Everywhere he went, he had to answer for everybody that would receive it. Brother Ray, the scripture says that there are many places he went that he could not perform many miracles because the people believed not. They wouldn't believe in him. Tonight, as I said, God knows what we need before better than what we know we need. How many of you got things that you say you think you have need of in your life? Right? I'll testify for a minute. And then I'll get out of the way. This week, Mark, I was working on an old rust bucket of a truck I got. I told him Wednesday night I put that transmission in it and put it in drive and it wouldn't do anything. And I thought, oh Lord, I need a new truck. I need a new truck. Not a brand new truck. You look at the prices of those and it'll scare you to death. But then I said, Lord, help me. And I heard some grinding of the gears and I had to change the, I called it the wrong thing the other night. Glenn corrected me. Not the transfer case. The transfer case. I heard it grinding and I finally put it up in neutral. Then I put the gear shift back in drive and it began to move. And you know what my reaction was? Thank you, Lord. I don't need a new truck. How many of you are thankful when God performs the little things in your life? Amen. He knows what we have need of. Because if I had a new truck, my head might swell. I might get high mighty. You see, sometimes God says, be happy with what you got. And I wish we had a house full of young people tonight. Be happy with what you got. What the Lord has blessed you with. That's why we see so many homes end up in divorce. Because they're not happy with what they got. And they pursue after other things because they think that's what they have need of. I've often put this, and I don't mean to insult anybody tonight. But if the one you got won't make you happy, what makes you think another one will? Amen. How many of you are happy with what God gave you in the house of the Lord? You better raise your hands. My kids aren't perfect, but I thank God for them. And God knows what they have need of. Have you seen any of your family go through struggles and you thought, Lord, I wish I could help them? They're going through such a down time in their life. I wish I could help them, but I don't have the words. Jesus has got the words that they need to hear. He knows what's upon their minds. Because you see, sometimes we hold things back. People say, just give me the story. And we'll give them a little bit of it. We won't tell them the whole story. See, God knows the whole story. From beginning to end, He knows the whole story. Right? And He knows what we have need of. Each and every day, He knows what we have need of. And the things that sometimes in life I've looked at and thought, man, I have need of that. I found out it wasn't a need, it was a want. Amen? It was a want. It wasn't a need. If I needed it, God would have already given it to me. And so you say, oh, Lord. He said He would. He would supply every need that we have along life's journey because I'm His child. But there's some things I wanted and I said, Lord, why didn't You give it to me? And if I can be a father for a minute, God will look at it and say, you didn't have need of it. You didn't have need of it. This woman thought she was pretty religious. Our fathers worship in this mountain. This is who we are. Our fathers worship here. And Jesus just looked at her and said, the day is coming that you will not worship in this mountain nor anywhere else. But true worship comes out of our hearts. To let God know He said to bear our hearts to him, to let him know what we have need of, but then let God decipher what it is that we really have need of and what we're just emotionally praying for. Because, and I'll close in a minute, but how many of you have ever prayed emotionally because your heart was broken? You prayed and you prayed. And you said, Lord, this is what I need you to do. Because it's hard to take the arms of protection off. Because God can raise them up and God can bring them down.